let's say Trump wins 3 weeks from today. Mm-hmm. What happens? The Democratic Party is, I mean, as you said, a lot of Democrats, maybe the majority, believe that Trump becoming president again is the worst thing that ever could happen. So how do they respond to that?
I say this not flippantly. I think it will be the cause of the greatest mental health crisis in the history of the country. I think tens of millions of people will question their connection to the nation, their connection to other human beings, their connection to their vision of what their future for them and their children could be like. And I think that will be require an enormous amount of access to mental health professionals. I think it'll lead to trauma in the workplace. I think there'll be some degree of
protest. Are you being serious?
100% serious. 100% serious. I think there'll be alcoholism. There'll be broken marriages. Yeah. They think he's the worst person possible to be president. And having won by the hand of Jim Comey and Fluke in 2016, and then performed in office for 4 years and denied who won the election last time and January 6th, the fact that under a fair election, America chose by the rules pre-agreed to, Donald Trump again, I think it will cause the biggest mental health crisis in the history of America.
That's journalist Mark Halperin telling Tucker what he thinks we're on the cusp of seeing in less than 3 weeks from today. We are on the cusp of seeing perhaps the single greatest meltdown on the left ever witnessed in the history of our nation. We're going to take a look at the latest election projections that Halperin is referring to there, and we're going to see precisely why the woke left only have themselves to blame. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your Patriot Professor, here to help you stay sane in these insane times. So you know what to do. Make sure to smack that bell and subscribe. But before we dive in here, I've got to ask you, if you're like me, do you have trouble sleeping at night? Because I do. I'm a horrible sleeper. For me, I can't turn off my brain. So I toss and turn, often, frankly, for hours before I fall asleep. But, gang, I've come across something that has absolutely revolutionized my life. It's called Beam Dream, and it has completely changed the way I sleep. I sip a nice hot cup of Beam Dream, and I kid you not, I'm out like a light, and I have the most restful sleep ever all throughout the night. It's become a nightly ritual of mine that I look forward to each and every day. Plus, I never wake up feeling groggy the next morning. Instead, I feel refreshed and ready to take on the day. And they're offering Turley Talkers an exclusive discount of up to 35% off site-wide for a limited time. Just scan that QR code on the screen or click on the link below to get the best night of sleep you've ever had and propel your wellness journey to the next stage. Click that QR code or go to shopbeam.com/turleytalks. That's shopbeam.com/turleytalks for your amazing discount today.
Do you eat grit?
I love grit.
Grit is what they all say Trump has.
We're better off when Trump was in than we are today.
Because prices were lower.
Everything was better.
You got the immigrants, you got the economy, you got the wars overseas. We don't really feel like right now that we have anybody at all looking after all this. We need somebody to take command.
Nearly everyone we spoke to at Country Kitchen wanted Trump back in the White House.
If we get Trump, we got hope. If we get Kamala, we don't have any hope. It's gone.
It's gone.
Country's gone.
That's CBS News seeing for themselves what voters in North Carolina really think about this election. And they admitted, CBS News admitted that they could not find one single Kamala Harris supporter. The reality of this election is starting to dawn on a number of our liberal elites, and increasingly they're seeing the writing on the wall. For example, early voting just started in the state of Georgia. Take a look at the top performing counties. As you can see, four of the top five in terms of voter turnout are all very, very Trumpy, as our good friend Rich Barris likes to say. They are very, very deep red. Here's one assessment of Georgia. Georgia just started their early voting, and according to this model, if you take the other day's early voting totals from each of the counties, deep red and deep blue counties, and then you weight them by 20-20 percentages. So the very percentages where Trump, you know, quote unquote, lost by 10,000 votes, the final result on November 5th would be Trump plus 5. That will give you a sense of how dominant those red counties were the other day. So Trump would win Georgia, again, with the other day's turnout weighted according to 2020 percentages. He would win Georgia handily by 5 points. We're seeing the exact same thing in Arizona. Polls just opened up there, particularly in Maricopa County, where 60% of Arizona residents live. Look at this, gang. Republicans have opened up a massive lead literally on day one. 1,800 Republican votes to 1,300 Democrat votes. And remember, who wins Maricopa County wins Arizona. And the Republican turnout is already crushing it. Very different than what we saw in 2020. But again, this is just par for the course all over the country. In states like Pennsylvania, North Carolina, of course, Virginia, Florida, the electorate is already inordinately Republican. The Republican turnout is through the freaking roof. Here's Qantas Insight's latest electoral projection model. They're seeing Trump with 312 electoral votes to Harris's 226, and they're giving Trump a near 70% chance of pulling that electoral college victory off. For her part, I mean, Kamala, I mean, she's just getting desperate at this point. She's trying to buy off black men by offering legalized weed. I kid you not. This despite the fact that she prosecuted and convicted nearly 2,000 people for possessing marijuana when she was a California district attorney. I mean, you literally cannot make this absurdity up. Now, the new thing is she's trying to convince voters. Again, I kid you not. She's trying to convince voters that Trump is cognitively degenerating. I mean, I honestly don't even know what to say to that. She covers up Biden's literal cognitive decline for years. And now suddenly cognitive functionality is the most important thing in this election. Here's Scott Jennings bringing the heat on CNN.
If I were Harris, I wouldn't be leaning too heavily into who's hiding what kind of medical conditions of people who are or want to be the president, given her role in lying about the condition of Joe Biden for the last 4 years. That's number one. Number two, I don't think this works for her. I think I'm back in the same bucket I was earlier. You're not selling your own candidacy. You're punching Donald Trump in the same way every other Democrat we've ever heard from for the last 8-9 years has punched this guy. That's not the problem with your campaign. We've heard all the attacks on Trump. If she cannot sell her own candidacy any better than just punching on him, I'm for her, if I were in her camp, I just don't know it's going to be enough. That's my view.
Smart for the Kamala Harris campaign to continue to remind people.
Honestly, just to be lectured by Democrats about you have to have mental acuity to be the president of the United States after what we just lived through for the last 4 years.
Scott, come you on. Love that talking
don't
point.
Lecture me about mental acuity in the presidency. But when Democrats, or who all, you included, who all assured us that Joe Biden was riding unicycles and juggling knives in the Oval Office, when we know that wasn't true, and Harris was the chief cheerleader for that whole, don't, the lectures about the mental acuity, come on.
Contract.
That was a brilliant observation. I think he was right on there. If you think it through, Trump has been, he's been mocked, he's been ridiculed, he's been stigmatized, he's been lambasted in every imaginable way. He's faced a 24/7 hostile media. He's been indicted over 4 times. He's been outrageously convicted of dozens of felonies. And he's even been shot in the face. What the hell does Harris think she's going to accomplish by trying to stick him with something else? If none of that were, if the sum total of all of these attacks, rhetorical, legal, and yes, physical attacks, if the sum total, if none of them, or if all of them have yet worked, if none of them, or if none, all of them combined have not worked, why on earth would she think that these new allegations will stick? Especially when everyone knows that Kamala was guilty of the very thing of hiding cognitive decline from the nation. And it's not just the weed or yet another lame attempt at stigmatizing Trump or the reparations now that she's advocating. It's all All of it is indicative of precisely what Mark Halperin said at the very beginning. I talked about this, I believe, yesterday in one of our videos yesterday. I also had an interview where we talked about it. I talked about the work of the Polish psychologist Andrzej Lobachevsky. Lobachevsky studied Marxist elites, particularly in Eastern Europe, for over 40 years. And Lobachevsky concluded that the singular characteristic that all of these woke leftist Marxists he studied shared was not their ideology per se. They differed here and there, different shades of their beliefs. It wasn't their ideology per se. It wasn't their quest for power, their strategies for domination. It was the fact that they were all psychopaths. This is Andrzej Lobachevsky's conclusion. After studying Marxists for over 40 years, he concluded that they weren't just wrong or intellectually misguided or mistaken. They were actually mentally ill. They were all bona fide psychopaths. And what he noted was that when the world is run by psychopaths, like it was for 70 years in the Soviet Union and 40 years in Eastern Europe, when the world is run by psychopaths, it becomes hysterical. It literally becomes insane, which perfectly explains our society today. The British comedian John Cleese, he's offered a very similar critique of wokeness, particularly in the context of comedy. In a recent interview with the British Channel 4, he said, quote, PC stuff started out as a good idea, which is let's not be mean to people. And I'm in favor of that, despite my age. The main thing is to try to be kind. But then it becomes a sort of indulgence of the most oversensitive people in your culture, the people who are most easily upset. I don't think we should organize a society around the sensibilities of the most easily upset people, because then you have a very neurotic society. And that's it. That's exactly what Lobachevsky had concluded. When you have psychopaths running society, society inevitably recalibrates around the most neurotic people imaginable, and society becomes hysterical. And that is exactly what Mark Halperin is talking about in his predictions of what's going to happen in our nation in the days following a Trump victory. We'll, of course, see what does ultimately happen. But let's hope that whatever does happen will be the opportunity to wrench control of our nation away from these lunatics and restore sanity to our land once and for all.